News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Hey, we're back here. One quick question before we get into this. I'm going to go get takeout at Pepe's today. They're open today and tomorrow. Closed until December 5th otherwise. And you're going to make it to Pepe's?
Yeah, Bernie and I'll be there this afternoon.
So appearing live, the Sargents.
Yeah,
versus, today.
It's more like dead this morning for me.
Well, it's been a rough
too much partying for Christmas.
A lot of Christmas going on there. Anyway, starting the History Hour, second hour, whatever this thing is.
Yes.
But the History Moment, that's a big deal. Produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. Her topic today is about New Year's Eve in 1930 in El Paso. And how some people were dancing into parties uninvited.
Elite takes steps to keep undesired elements from exclusive New Year's Eve affairs. December 31st, 1930, the El Paso Evening Post reported that blacklist crashers or uninvited guests were being held responsible for asserted vandalism this past year at Younger Set dance parties held in local hotels. Some examples of these reported party vandalisms included smashing of glasses and plates, damaging valuable hotel artwork, disturbing hotel guest sleep, and even riding the elk in the lobby of the Hussman Hotel. Presidents of the ultra-exclusive dance clubs issued statements denying any excessive damage to hotel property by members of their dance organizations. Young Mr. Hale of the Caveman's Dance Club stated this present custom of trying to wreck a hotel at each dance is an innovation in El Paso's social procedure this year and has to stop here and now. Harvey Day, manager of the Hilton Hotel, announced that no rooms would be rented out to guests attending these dances, and the hotel would stop this drinking that brings on such disgraceful vandalism, and any boisterous guests would be promptly evicted, although there would be no ban on noise, he said. On the orders of Chief T.R. Bennett, uniformed police officers would be patrolling hotels and also checking for firearms at hotel entrances to prevent possible accidents in celebrating the New Year. And then some hotels just banned New Year's Eve parties, period, because they're feared there would be way too much whoopee. Happy New Year, El Paso. More history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
There you are. And there we are.
We're making too much whoopee today.
You're going to go ride the elk, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, you got it. You know, they always say that, you know, rock stars and these movie stars, they tear apart the hotel rooms. They had nothing.
These were the normal people.
That's right.
Ah, yes.
We're out there tearing them up, too.
You do this for the Alliance, and they got a whole bunch of followers on Facebook.
Yes, we do. We have some great people. You need to check out our great partners in El Paso History Work on Facebook, and that's Max Grossman and the El Paso History Alliance page. You have Barbara Given-Bainey and Remember in El Paso Win. They're all got great archived pictures, news articles, stories, so much information and so much more. You need to check them out. And if you have any questions on El Paso history, you can contact Mr. Bernie Sargent. Yes. He's at 915-581-7920. And I think he's there. So you can give him a call.
Today would be a day to call him. Okay.
Yes.
And also the chief administrator for the page, Remember in El Paso Win, Barbara Given-Bainey, otherwise known affectionately as BGB.
BGB.
Anyway, administrators are Margaret Smith, Rick Duncan, Paul Louie, Jim Carrollton, and moderators Ken Weiss and Craig Hayes. So she's got a crew there. She may want some more help. I don't know. Ask her, because that page is wonderful to go take a look at.
Yes.
All right, looking at the history as we do, and we're continuing on, we still have Dr. Noel. We still have Father Garcia. Good morning again.
Garcia, yes.
Good morning.
And we've added your sidekick in crime, Max Grossman. Dr. Max, how in the world are you?
Very well, thanks. Good morning, Melissa, Jackson.
Morning, Max.
Good to hear your voice here. Now you're chiming in on mostly today the Sacred Heart Church, and you want to get that. I mean, you're an architectural kind of guy, and I understand that Father Garcia is also an architectural guy. But the idea is to renovate that church. So, Max, what are you up to?
Well, I invite everybody to visit our webpage, RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. That's RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. Father Garcia and I are co-chairing a committee of 26 volunteers whose aim is to restore the church, as well as the adjoining school and residence for the Jesuit parish. So that complex was begun in 1893 and completed in 1923. So it's quite old and desperately in need of some work. And so we've embarked on this project. It's going to take a few years to bring it to completion. We have to raise a lot of money. So I'd encourage everybody to go to RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org and consider a contribution before the end of this tax year.
How much is a lot of money?
Well, Father Garcia and I are working on that now. We just hired a firm, Wright and Dalton Architects, to conduct an architectural condition assessment, which we will have finished in February, which will give us a very clear idea of how much the project will cost. But it will be in the millions, I can tell you that.
All right. So whoever hits that big lottery tonight, call Max.
Or Father Garcia.
Fair enough. And put in your 10% in minimum. So there.
And I'm putting the post up on our Facebook page so people can, after the show, can contact you also.
And also, you're putting up their page on the restoration. Max, again, that website?
Yeah. RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org.
All right, Father Garcia, what do you think about this? I mean, no doubt you're in the middle of it, and you have an architectural background. First of all, what is your architectural background yourself?
Well, I studied and worked as an architect in Miami, Florida, before entering the Jesuits. So I practiced in the profession for several years, and then as a Jesuit, I've actually designed and built a couple of projects. So everywhere I go, it seems that God can use me also as an architect besides as a priest. But what I think is exciting about this, and back to your original question, is that the plan is to hopefully prioritize and maybe look at this in phases. It will all depend on how the fundraising goes will go hand in hand with what we can do or we want to do. So we will do the more essential things first to restore, make sure that the walls, the brick walls are in better shape, and some of the systems like plumbing and heating and ventilation and so on are upgraded. But, you know, it'll all depend on the fundraising and how much we can build up and how much we'll be able to do based on that.
Would you have to then shut the church down at some point, or can you work around that and keep working on the building?
That's a good question. I don't know yet. Depending on what we do inside, according to the phases, we may have to shut it during the week and maybe reopen it on the weekends. It'll see. I don't know yet.
You could probably move to your gymnasium at some point and go back and forth, I'm guessing.
That happened in the 80s when there was a fire in the church that did damage, a lot of smoke damage and some structural damage. The masses or the services were done in the gymnasium, so that is a possibility.
How many people can your main sanctuary hold?
Well, right now I think it would be about 700 plus using the first balcony. As you know, the inside of the church is a very unusual design. I have never seen anything like that, and many people have not either, where it's got a first balcony in the back, like many churches do, and then there's some sloping balconies that come down on the sides.
Why'd they do that?
Go up to the top and wrap up around the back on the top of the first balcony.
We have a picture of that up now. Why did they make it that way?
I don't know totally, but I would think at that point, from what I know, and even some of the people who are older in our community still remember, you know, after the Mexican Revolution and when people started fleeing the persecution of the church in Mexico, and then people migrated to this barrio, which was had a lot more larger population back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s. The church, from what I hear from the old-timers, the balconies were packed with people and the bottom floor, and they had several masses on every Sunday. So it was just there was a huge need for a big church, and I think that's the creative, that's what the architect decided would be most creative and most practical.
Max, you're going to check out those balconies, make sure they're still good, right?
Oh, absolutely. The plan is to restore the building faithfully following both state and federal historical guidelines. It's going to be beautiful when it's finished.
Well, now, normally when you do that, Max, somebody gets a tax credit. How about a church? You can't do that. What happens there?
Actually, there are two tax credits, the federal tax credit and the state tax credit. The federal tax credit cannot be taken advantage of because it's not an income-producing property.
Right.
But the state tax credit can.
Up
to 25% of the cost of this project, we're hoping, will be covered by the state of Texas. It's a saleable tax credit. So what we'll do is we'll sell the value of one quarter of the project to another institution that needs a big tax write-off and hopefully recover up to a quarter of the cost. As you know, Jackson and Melissa, this will be the first rehabilitated building in the future Segundo Barrio National Register Historic District. This is a national historic district that will be completed in the Segundo Barrio in June. And it will include 687 contributing tax credit eligible buildings.
We've got a picture of that up now. Yeah, go ahead.
70% of all the architecture in Segundo Barrio, 70% is considered historic at a national level. And to put that in perspective, there's only one building in all of Segundo Barrio today that's on the National Register. And in June, we're going to go to 687.
Wow.
What building?
And Sacred Heart Church, by far and away, the most iconic and important.
Yeah. And that's the building that's already on the register?
It's about to be added, along with over 680 other buildings.
Wow.
Max, can you explain the significance of an area becoming a historic district?
Well, I cannot overestimate what this means for El Paso. Our most historic, our largest, most beautiful barrio is going to be commemorated at the national level. And so all of the data on all of the buildings will enter a national database that can be used by scholars, that can be used to generate tourist brochures. The tax credits are going to be available to restore hundreds and hundreds of buildings. It'll change the economic calculus of the entire neighborhood because property owners will find it profitable to actually restore buildings, including buildings where people live, hopefully improving the quality of life of thousands of people, okay? So a really important project. And I can tell you that the firm that conducted the survey of the neighborhood, Hardy Heck Moore of Austin, has identified more than a dozen architectural styles in the Segundo Barrio that are going to be highlighted by this district, including, just to read very quickly, territorial revival, mission revival, Pueblo revival, Spanish colonial revival, Romanesque revival, classical revival, Gothic revival, medieval revival, Italian Renaissance revival, and eclectic revival, Art Deco, modern, Craftsman, prairie, and contemporary. So it's a wonderland of architecture, okay? And many, many of these buildings are going to be restored. Hopefully this will become a major tourist destination, as it should be.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah, I was just thinking, one of our followers on the Facebook page, Victor Guzman from Anthony, New Mexico, was saying that his family, his parents came here from the Cristero Wars and before that. And then he also have, Gio Macias, I've got a couple of people. Their family's been parishioners since 1895. That was Michael Potta. So it's amazing that you're running into these long-term families. You just, it's wonderful because that's family history right there.
In all your plans, are you guys going to end up with more parking lots somewhere or somehow?
That's a good question. We'd have to first find land. It hasn't been easy at this point, but that would be a big help for us.
It's all historic land. You can't tear it down to make a parking lot. Don't do that. But I mean, it's something to think about.
No, but there's already open land, already some other parking areas that people can use. And many people through the years, they do come. They're not deterred by parking. Either come, a lot of our parishioners come by bus, other comes by, they will park on the street or park on some of these other lots. So it would be a help, but it's not totally essential for people to come.
Yeah, a lot of people are mobile and don't need a car to get there. That's good. Gentlemen, we're going to take a break. Go ahead.
I wanted to mention, too, that, for the history, it's also, not only the church itself, but there's many angles to the significance of Sacred Heart. It's also the Jesuit residence is where all the Jesuits lived at work at the turn of the century or the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century. This was still mission territory. All the old parishes were built by Father Pinto. And all the Jesuits live here in the Jesuit residence. And so people who are from, even from other churches, from other parishes, whether it's Guardian Angel or whether it's St. Ignatius or whether it's Holy Family, you know, their priests that serve them lived here. And so this was the headquarters. And then they also would go out on horseback to serve the Lower Valley and other parts of West Texas and into Mexico. So there's not only is it the local church here, the Barrio, but it was also the headquarters for basically the beginnings of what became later the Diocese of El Paso.
That sounds like that needs a plaque all by itself.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, cool. And we can take a break here and come back and talk more about this. Dr. Max Grossman's on the phone here, and also we have Father Rafael Garcia. And talking about the restoration of Sacred Heart Church, and one more, I'm going to ask you every time now, Max, the website again to donate?
RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org.
I hope it works. And whoever wins the Powerball tonight.
Yeah. And it's a beautiful page. It's a beautiful page. I put it up on our site so you can get to it also. But they've got some great historical pictures, an easy way to donate. So
go for it.
Give a few bucks.
We'll take a break here. You can call us if you wish.
915-544-5876 or 915-544-KTSM.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call Certified Property Manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
Hi, I'm CJ Pearson, and I'm everything the left hates. Young, black, and unapologetically conservative. Generation Z is tired of the BS, tired of the cancel culture, indoctrination, and tired of being told what to think. Join me each and every week as I take on the left, uncensored, unfiltered, and unafraid. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Listen to CJ Pearson Uncensored every Thursday on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Attention all women who have been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. Johnson & Johnson's baby powder and shower-to-shower talcum products have been linked to ovarian cancer. In February and May 2016, Johnson & Johnson was ordered to pay $72 million and $55 million by two juries to two women who contracted ovarian cancer after years of using talcum baby powder products. If you or a family member has been diagnosed with ovarian cancer and used talcum powder prior to the diagnosis, call Talcum Powder Help Now today at 800-833-0112. You may be entitled to substantial compensation. The consultation is free and you'll pay nothing unless there is a recovery in your favor. Don't fight this alone. If you or a loved one used talcum baby powder-based products before being diagnosed or died from ovarian cancer, call Talcum Powder Help Now at 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112. 800-833-0112.
Paid for by Bar Justice.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Newsmax TV. Everyone's talking about it. 30 million people are watching Newsmax for real news on President Trump, Biden, the election, and more. And make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking if President Trump should concede. Just text VIRUS to 39747 and vote instantly. That's VIRUS to 39747. Watch Newsmax for great shows on major cable systems and free on Roku, YouTube, smart TVs, and more. Vote about Trump. Text VIRUS to 39747 today.
I'm Anthony Imparato, president of Henry Repeating Arms. Patriotic Americans are looking to protect and provide for their families now more than ever. Henry has over 200 rifles and shotguns to choose from. Made in America or not made at all. And backed by a lifetime guarantee. Order a free catalog, decals, and a list of Henry dealers in your area. Go to henryusa.com or call 1-800-958-4993. Thank you and God bless America.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Next Saturday, that would be in the new year, 2020, will be gone by then. How about that? Anyway, January 2nd, 2021, Samuel Dolan, and his new book is our topic. The new book is Hell Paso. That's been said before, but he's going to explain it. Spanning a 30-year period from the late 1800s until 1920s, Hell Paso is the true story of the desperate men and women, the notorious women that made El Paso, Texas, the Old West's most dangerous town. Do you believe that?
Not at all.
But he's supported by official court documents, government records, oral histories, and period newspaper accounts. This book offers a bird's-eye view of the one-time, quote, murder metropolis of the Southwest. So there. January 9th, centuries ago, El Paso was the center of the winemaking industry in the New World, even exporting wines to other parts of the Southwest. That tradition lives on at Zin Valle Vineyards, a locally owned and operated winery that offers wines from its estate vineyards, as well as from California and Italy. The history of winemaking in El Paso del Norte region will be explained by Ryan Poulos, co-owner of Zin Valle, along with his father, Vic Poulos, who will appear by a video recording, an expert on the history of wine in the region.
There.
And, well, we've got one more here. January 16th, 2021, 9 historic districts in El Paso. Bernie Sargent will come in and talk about one of them, historic Sunset Heights, and what role it now plays in our city. What do you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about Keystone Heritage Park, speaking of historic places. It is open from Tuesdays through Sundays from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Now, on special nights, we have the holiday lights, which are still going on, and there's a Thursday through Sundays, and the park will stay open until 8 p.m. So folks can walk through the gardens and enjoy the lights and play some Christmas music on their cell phones and such. Hopefully next year we'll expand it even more so. And it's only $2 per person, which goes, all the funds go to the park itself. And you can pay at the gate, pay online at Keystone Heritage Park Facebook page or the website, which is KeystoneHeritagePark.com. And they're located at 4200 Donovan Drive in the Upper Valley. And give us a call at 915-584-0563 if you have any questions.
Where were we, gentlemen? Dr. Max Grossman, Father Garcia, Sacred Heart Church, very important icon and a very important church, very active. I mean, you guys never quit, do you?
No, we don't, but let's talk about the history of the building and the history of the parish. How about
okay,
that?
Yes. Go for it.
Okay. Well, Father Garcia knows better than me, but Father Carlos Pinto was in Colorado for 22 years. He arrived there in 1870, just after the Transcontinental Railroad was finished. He was busy establishing churches and schools and catering to the Catholic community of that state. And then he comes to El Paso in 1892 and gets very busy, as Father Garcia will tell you. And, of course, Sacred Heart Church had a sister church, the Church of the Immaculate Conception. But Sacred Heart Church was established in 1892 specifically for the Spanish-speaking community, which was growing very, very quickly. The cornerstone was laid on December 11th, 1892, the Feast of St. Damasus, and the first Mass was held less than 5 months later, April 30th, 1893. So the building goes up very quickly. Originally, it was a neoclassical building. It had a temple-like facade with pilasters, a classical entablature, a pediment. It looked kind of like a Roman temple originally. And on either side were the school to the south and the Jesuit parish to the north, which were built also in the 1890s. Now, as most people know, the church was rebuilt. It was completely reconstructed in 1923, between January 2nd, 1923, and October 12th. So in about 10 months, the building was rebuilt in the Gothic style, the English Gothic style. So the building would be at home in London or York or or anywhere else in England, but actually it's in the Segundo Barrio, the only really purely Gothic building that I know of in El Paso. Beautiful, gorgeous brick building, but in dire need of restoration. Perhaps Father Garcia has something to add.
Well, I want to add another dimension to this is that it was mentioned that this is still a very vibrant community, and we hope that this restoration project for us will be also like a catalyst or will help motivate other people, renovate their buildings and improve the community. This is still a very much an alive community, but with great needs. This part of El Paso, Segundo Barrio, is one of the poorest sectors in the United States. If you look at statistics, there's a lot of human needs. And so, like the church, back in the 1990s, we started, when I was pastor, we started a very active social ministries program with a religious sister we have here. We have adult education classes. We're actually certified through the Mexican education system and the Mexican consulate to issue, to give exams, administer exams, and grade them so that people can get what would be the equivalent of finishing primary or secondary education in Mexico. We were the first, it's called a Plaza Comunitaria. It's a designation that they have for programs like this. We're the first Catholic church in the United States to establish this in the 1990s. So right now we're still giving a lot of food, especially now, giving out groceries and cooked meals to people because of the pandemic, especially. So we're still a very active church, and so fixing up the building will be a sign that we're here and we're here to stay as Jesuits, and we need to minister to the community.
Away you go. We're going to take another break here about that. Melissa, you had a thought?
I was just going to say, I just made a donation to the church fund for restoring the church, and we put that link on our Facebook page, and I'd hope the people out there listening might put in a few bucks also to help out. I mean, every little bit's going to help them one way or another.
Tis a good cause here.
That's right.
Take a break, come back, and talk about that a little further. And if you want to comment on something or if you have some mystery that you think we need to explain, give us a call.
915-581-79. No,
that's Bernie.
544-5876.
Wait a minute. Start over. You're right, but keep going.
Yes, 915-544-5876.
You sure?
Yes, I'm positive.
It says so right there.
I'm reading it off the script this time.
Then we're good.
And we're called 544-KTSM.
Back in a moment.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Don't like shark movies? Change the channel.
Monster under the bed? Turn the lights on.
Worried about the flu? Get a flu shot. Especially with COVID-19 still spreading. A flu shot is the most effective way to reduce your chance of getting sick. And a flu shot will not give you the flu. So get the flu shot. Not the flu. Find your nearest shot location at texasflu.org. Every dose matters. From the Texas Department of State Health Services.
News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers want to bring good wishes to our seniors in El Paso. Nominate your favorite senior at ktsmradio.com for your chance to win them a gift card. Make them feel extra good because they really, really deserve it. It can be any senior, like a family member, your uncle, grandmother, a friendly neighbor, or heck, even you. Any senior who could use some cheering up this holiday season. Happy holidays from News Talk 690 AM and Conviva Care Centers.
Your business is getting back to business, but things are a little different than 6 months ago. What does that mean for your customers? And when things are constantly changing, how do you know you're making the right decisions? What you need is Research Raccoon. Research Raccoon is the easy way to learn about your customers, and it's affordable for businesses of all sizes. Here's how it works. Ask a question, and Research Raccoon polls a U.S.-based group of people to find out what they think. No having to define an audience or waiting weeks for results, just data to make smarter decisions. Think of it like a gut check for your plan to re-enter the market. That way, your first move is your best move. So before you reopen your store, reach out to your customers, or introduce yourself to a new audience, talk to Research Raccoon and get data you can use for less than you'd think. Visit ResearchRaccoon.com to learn more and discover which plan is best for you. ResearchRaccoon.com, a little gut check for your big ideas.
Newsmax TV, everyone's talking about it. 30 million people are watching Newsmax for real news on President Trump, Biden, the election, and more. And make sure you vote in Newsmax's national poll asking if President Trump should concede. Just text VIRUS to 39747 and vote instantly. That's VIRUS to 39747. Watch Newsmax for great shows on major cable systems and free on Roku, YouTube, smart TVs, and more. Vote about Trump. Text VIRUS to 39747 today.
News Radio 690 KTSM.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, Melissa, are you ready for this week only in El Paso, Inc.?
They are risking their lives to save others and feeding those in need. The 2020 El Pasoans of the Year and Community Spirit Award honoree is announced.
And that's it for the headlines there. They are celebrating their 25th anniversary. El Paso's Business Journal, El Paso Inc. is available for home or business delivery.
And to receive El Paso Inc. order on, you can order it online at elpasoinc.com.
Tomorrow night on ABC 7 Extra, Saul Sines talks with ABC staff and reporters about the year 2020 with a look at one crazy year.
Join ABC 7 Extra host Saul Sines on ABC 7 Extra Sunday nights after ABC 7 at 10.
Well, there's a few good things gone on in 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And I would think the Sacred Heart restoration would be one of them. Now, Max and Raphael, you guys are not going to change the facade. You're simply going to enhance it and make sure it works better, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
We're not going to change it. We're going to try to bring it back to... In other words, fix that up because it needs a lot of work. But no, we're not changing it.
But air conditioning, you're going to do air conditioning, plumbing, that kind of thing, or what?
Nice.
Yes. Yes. Especially air conditioning and heating. Those systems are really old and in bad shape. Plumbing also, some electrical, I'm sure. That's what the architectural assessment phase that we're doing now will be about, to determine what's needed and what we can do.
And again, the website, Max, Restoration?
RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org.
RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org. There you go.
And so, I would encourage people that listen to our show to share it with their friends, too, because there's a lot of people don't live in the area, and they might be able to help you out also. So, you know, share the good thoughts.
Well, you mentioned that the people don't live. Some people out of the area are listening today. Who do you have?
Well, you have Michael Parra, who's in Dallas, and he's got family that's gone way, way back there. Hopefully he'll make a donation. Anthony, New Mexico, so far. We have Victor Guzman, Pennsylvania, Florida, California. We got people from all over listening, and many of them are local El Pasoans.
Some Colorado.
Some have just stumbled into the site and said, hey, this is really cool, so they listen to us.
Well, this is one of the few places on a radio dial or anywhere, basically in El Paso, explaining El Paso history.
Michael Potta just donated. So thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Michael. And so it's working already here. Yeah, good for them.
Sure.
The history of that neighborhood, as we've been discussing, is an old piece of El Paso history. But rate it in terms of Chicano history and Mexican-American history in the United States. I mean, doesn't this rank up there with most anywhere?
Want to take that one, Father?
Well, from what I know, yes. I mean, that would have been a better question for David Romo. But from what I know, yes, there's a long history here since the 1890s and even before. I would think so, and not necessarily only the Segundo Barrio, but yes, this is certainly an important barrio.
I'll tell you what, if David Roma wants to call back in, 544-5876, we'll take his call. But the point being is that this is a very historic piece of property, and it just kills me to think 15 years ago, whatever it was, you had a group of businessmen in El Paso who think they know better than anybody, and they were going to destroy so much of this history to turn it into what? Big box stores catering to people coming just across the border. That kind of mentality drives me up a wall, because that's not how you should treat history. Argue that for me, Max. I know you can do it.
Yeah, well, look, in 2006, there was a plan, a public-private partnership with the Paso del Norte Group and the city of El Paso to essentially wipe out a good portion of the commercial area of Segundo Barrio, the area just around Sacred Heart Church, especially the corridors that are South El Paso Street and South Oregon Street. And luckily, that plan was thwarted thanks to groups like Paso del Sur and the residents of the neighborhood, and also thanks to Father Garcia, who's online right now. A lot of people rose up in opposition to that plan. And really what's happening now, the establishment of the Segundo Barrio National Register Historic District, is it's a happy ending. instead of demolition, we're going to have commemoration, right? Instead of blight and decay, we're going to have rehabilitation and restoration. So things are moving in the right direction. And we couldn't be more pleased.
And also, that this same attitude and concept extends to what we now refer to as Duranguito. That needs to be saved, basically turned back into history. And you can put your arena, no, I won't say it, you can locate the arena elsewhere.
Correct. Very much so.
I just don't get the idea that the businessmen who have the funding think they should go push around the history of El Paso and wipe it out. It doesn't make any sense. And then quite often City Hall recently has come out in the last couple of years and said, well, there's no history there. And those people are lying through their teeth. That drives me up a wall. Ah, enough of that. Okay, I'll get back off my soapbox. But the thing about this... Go ahead.
No, I was going to mention that, you know, part of the restoration that we'd like to do would include, if it's permitted by the city and we can get this done, is to have a plaza in front of the church, outdoor gathering space where people could come as an open mercado, people that from the neighborhood could sell. The many creative people here, artists and people who could do artwork and so on, could sell it, and it could be a gathering place. And to be honest with you, even the people, the developers that want to improve the city in some ways, if you restore a neighborhood like this and make it attractive without driving out the people or changing the character, that's what a lot of people want to see when they visit a city. They don't want to go to a mall or a big box store. They want to see history. So I think we can align ourselves also with the people who would even want to destroy this, because we want to revive the neighborhood and make it attractive, but keep it a neighborhood.
Well, and we mentioned in the first hour with Dr. David Romo that it's referred to sometimes as the Ellis Island of the border. And that's the whole point about the history, is it's an amazing set of facts that have gone on here. The history that's gone on here is truly amazing, and it should be showboated and showcased. And if you did that, you would find tourists coming in to fill up those hotels. That's the point these people are missing when they try to develop a downtown hotel. They can make a huge amount of money on heritage tourism. And a basketball team, third-rate G-level, whatever it's called, was not going to do you any good at all. And they would build an arena that's so small, nobody
Jackson,
would fit in it.
Jackson and Melissa, I'm pretty sure you know where I stand on that topic. But
oh, yeah, I know you do.
I want to share with you an interesting fact about the church that comes out of my own research here. So the current church is the second church on the site. It's a Gothic building that was completed in October 1923. And when it was completed, the parish had a debt of $120,000,
wow,
plus $15,000 in furniture and statues. So a total of $135,000 that was owed. And most of that was owed to the contractor, the well-known local contractor, J.E. Morgan, which built the church. And it took the parish 7 years to pay off that debt, and they paid it off in nickels and pennies.
Oh my gosh.
That were collected at each mass,
yep,
from the parishioners.
Wow.
And on December 12th, 1929, just after the beginning of the Great Depression, it was announced in our local papers that the debt had been extinguished. Penny
excellent.
By penny, nickel by nickel.
It's amazing.
So here we are again asking for a collection, this time to restore that original building that so many people have always cared about, that has such a vital and important place in our community. RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org.
Max, can you repeat how much that money is they do need to do this properly?
Well, as Father Garcia was saying, the architectural condition assessment, which is being conducted right now by Wright and Dalvin Architects, will be finished in February, and that will give us a broad idea of how much this will cost. We expect it to cost in the millions, certainly less than $10 million, but more than $1
million. Yeah, okay.
And it's a major undertaking. We're going to be applying for a lot of grants, but we really do need to rely also on the local community. And so many people are connected to the church, right? People who are baptized there, married there, thousands and thousands of El Pasoans, not just in El Paso, but around the country.
Well, Max, are you going to
ties to Sacred Heart?
Are you going to keep going and try to renovate other buildings down there once the church is figured out?
Well, this is a major project. And again, it will be the first rehabilitated major building in the Segundo Barrio, I think, ever. And hopefully this in itself will spark other projects, will inspire others to step up to the plate and take charge of some of the other buildings that need to be restored, like the Cologne Theater, for example. There's so many buildings that really need a little bit of care, especially if we're going to develop an economy that relies upon heritage tourism, which is the fastest growing of the growing sector of the tourist economy in Texas.
That's a clean economy, too. Yeah. Melissa, go ahead.
Michael Potter had another question for you, Max. He wanted to know, why is the church brick 2 to 3 different color tones?
Well, there are two reasons. Part of it is decorative. If you look at the school, for example, which is the oldest part of the complex, there are still brick walls dating from 1893, You'll see two-tone bricks. Some are lighter, some are darker, and you'll see them arranged in decorative patterns. But in other cases, there's patchwork repair. Some of the bricks were replaced over the years. When you replace bricks, sometimes they're a slightly different color and consistency. And hopefully the restoration will take care of that so that the building looks, evenly the same color, except the portions that are required to be two colors. I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, very good.
But also the church itself, you can see there's a kind of a very dark pink color. I think there was an attempt to try to paint a lot of the church, restore it by painting it, and that never really was finished. So
that would make sense.
Some things there that are probably was inappropriate ways of trying to restore the church.
All right, we're going to take a break here, come back and wrap this up with some ideas on how to make you some money. How about that?
Here you go.
I'm going to make them up over the break.
Well, yeah, we'll come up.
Call us if
Magic
you need.
Tickets.
Call us if you need to.
544-5876-544-KTSM.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today with professional counseling done securely online. Visit BetterHelp.com/feelhappy and get 15% off your first month.
You know where you were when the Golden State Killer was arrested. You're a moderator on the Zodiac Killer subreddit. But now you're in search of a new challenge. Enter Solve, the hit podcast that puts you at the center of the investigation. Solve is like no other murder mystery podcast. You'll track down killers hiding in plain sight.
You all right?
Yeah, it's just disturbing. Have you ever seen anything like this before?
Not like this.
To listen to Solve, download the free iHeartRadio app or listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The Sentinel Group sponsors this paid advertisement for legal services and is responsible for legal services. Attention, have you or a loved one been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months? The FDA has warned that Zantac and other medications containing heartburn drug, ranitidine, may be contaminated with cancer-causing agent NDMA. Zantac may be linked to these cancers: bladder, colorectal, esophageal, intestinal, kidney, liver, ovarian, pancreatic, stomach, testicular, and uterine. If you or a loved one have been diagnosed with cancer after using Zantac or other heartburn medications for several months, call now.
800-399-5446.
Never stop taking medication without first consulting a physician. Call right now for a free consultation. You may be owed significant compensation. Call 800-399-5446. 800-399-5446. That's 800-399-5446.
Find out the best tips and techniques to get your home sold and get the latest in real estate trends this week with your host, Brian Birds, Sunday at 7:30 on El Paso's news radio station, 690 KTSM AM.
News Radio 690 KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino with El Paso Souvenirs and Gift Shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
You know, during these strange times, there's a lot of historical stuff that we used to announce we don't announce anymore because it doesn't happen. I mean, all these meetings that we had going on here, stuff like that. But you can still get involved in things like the El Paso Archaeological Society. They were founded back in 1922 as a nonprofit. They are still around, and they are the crowd that has their own little clubhouse in the Museum of Archaeology out there in Northeast. And you can get a hold of them at epas.com. Interesting group of people going way back to, I think, Otis Altman as a photographer back in the day was one of the people that started that. And one of their first projects was Waco Tanks. So it's an interesting history to see what people have done over the years. They're still around. So there's somebody to think about here. You got an announcement to think about?
Well, what I wanted to talk about is the El Paso Museum of History, of course, is closed now, but you can. It's still a source of learning for the whole family. There are ways you can get your family involved in this and can experience the museum from home, and you can visit via the website history.elpaso.gov, or you can go to their Facebook page, EP Museum of History, and they've been doing new programming. Like last week, Bernie Sargent, my husband, was featured speaker. He was a featured speaker on the history of Sunset Heights, and you can see that video presentation is still online at the EP Museum of History Facebook page. And you can also access the complete digital wall archive by visiting digi.org, where you can explore El Paso history through time periods, neighborhoods, or themes. So there's all kinds of things to do, and you can use this if you're teaching at home or something extra for the kids to do for their history. There you go. You got today, a lot of sources.
Well, today we're focused on Segundo Barrio and Sacred Heart Church. But there's so much history in this entire El Paso region.
Oh, yeah.
It should be promoted as who we are and not as, hey, we need a water park. Oh, my goodness. I mean, do that for the locals.
You could do that, but, make sure you make the cultural history.
Yeah, don't put big whales in it in the desert, whatever. Anyway, back to reality here with Dr. Max Grossman, UTEP Fine Arts. No, you're not fine. What are you? What are you there? What is your title and what do you do there?
I'm a professor of art history. I teach medieval and Renaissance architecture and then dabble in El Paso architecture as well.
Well, yeah, but you're very personally concerned about the history in the architecture here. I've seen that. And how do you tell people about that? How do you phrase who you are?
Yeah, I've joined nonprofit boards. I love our history and culture. Even though I'm focused on medieval and Renaissance Europe, I like to use my skills, my experience to rehabilitate buildings in El Paso and to promote historic preservation. But all that said, the Segundo Barrio is probably the most fascinating, the richest historical area in the entire city.
Oh, untouched.
Sure. And I would love to go ahead.
Somewhat untouched.
Yeah, and just to put it in context, until 1864, what is the Segundo Barrio was in Mexico.
Yeah.
Right? After the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo of 1848, the Segundo Barrio was south of the river. And during the Civil War in 1864, the Rio Grande moved to its current position, and the Segundo Barrio ended up in the United States. And it was a muddy area. It was a very unpleasant place to live because it was subject to repeated flooding. And the poorest of the poor, mostly Mexican immigrants, settled there and started to build adobe dwellings. And eventually large neighborhoods went up, all built in adobe, to cater to the new industries that were developing in El Paso. And just so you know, in 1881, when the railroad arrived, there were only 730 people in El Paso. And 10 years later, there were over 10,000 people in El Paso.
Oh, it changed, yeah.
And a couple thousand people ended up in what would become the Segundo Barrio. The Segundo Barrio was established in 1885.
Oh, yeah.
It was one of the four wards that was established.
And when people look at the overall history of El Paso, that is often well overlooked. And that's what you guys are doing is fabulous. But plus, specifically, what you're doing for that church is going to be fabulous, too. Let's talk quickly about that, because let's summarize. What you've got going on is a restoration of Sacred Heart Church. We have Father Rafael Garcia on the phone here with Dr. Max Grossman. And the concept is to raise some money to put that church back into tip-top shape. And what does that mean to you, Father Garcia, tip-top shape?
Okay, first, making sure that the structure itself, there's no major structural damage at all, but we want to make sure that the brick walls, they need maintenance. Any brick wall with time will, the mortar joints will begin to erode. And so we need to restore the walls, make sure that they're in good shape. We also have to fix a lot of the old windows, like the church has these huge windows in the front with wood frames. They need to be restored. They're not in very good shape right now. The towers, too, the spires on the top, there's some of the stones are loose, and they're just being held together now temporarily with some wires and stuff. So a lot of it is just the outside, the shell of the building. And then, like the old school building, originally the school building, I believe, the bathrooms were outside. So with time, they added some bathrooms inside, which are, that's what we use right now when we have religious ed there and so on. But they're not in very good shape. We want to create better bathroom facilities. The plumbing system is all, we just have to, recently with one of the cold days, one of the pipes burst the old school building.
It needs help.
And when we pulled out the water line, it was like totally rust. It was like just an old pipe.
So there's
because they are old.
There's a lot to be done.
We want to look at all the systems. Yeah. We want to look at and make sure that they can be up to date so we can continue functioning safely. And then bring some of the areas to ADA requirements to make sure we have the right,
Padre,
ways to access the building.
I hope it works. We're out of time here for this show. Melissa, we got to come back and do this again next week on another topic. But Max Grossman, thanks for being here. Rafael Garcia, thank you both.
Thank you.
And again, it's an idea to take a look at and help out. And again, the website is?
RestoreSacredHeartChurch.org.
There we are.
SacredHeartChurch.org.
Andrew Polk in the control room, thank you much for what you've done today. It's a good show. Appreciate y'all. We'll see you on Facebook in the future and on 690 AM. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.